Saturn return is an astrological experience that you have your late 20s, early 30s. Saturn is the planet that calls us into sacred responsibility. It calls us into the maturity of who we're supposed to be as a human being. If we're not living in our most soul-aligned path, then it's going to correct that. It did require for some things to be released, some really big things that I identified myself as, that I was in a deep relationship with. There was just a lot of burning down for all of last year, and then now rising from the ashes, there is this sense of peace and wholeness, and okay, we're starting to finally taste. That's what this was for. But yeah, that was the initiation portal, and I knew that I was in it. I've started my spiritual path a long time ago. When we're on our spiritual path, it's always unfolding for us. We're never gonna actually know where we're going. Life is gonna hand us things, and we as a human being have discernment, we have choice. But ultimately, if we're really wanting to live on our highest path, then we are going to listen, and we are going to make decisions that are really hard, but eventually will bring us into a place of deeper peace, fulfillment, and wholeness within ourselves. So that's where I'm finally exhaling and landing in and looking around and being like, okay, we made it here. Great.
All right, here we are. Another beautiful day here in Atlanta where I am. Riona said it was a beautiful day where she is in San Diego. We're back with another sure to be very entertaining and exciting Dharma Glow podcast episode. Thank you so much for being here, Riona.
Yes, it's such an honor and a pleasure to be back, because we've had our first episode, and when we were connecting about coming back together and creating another one, just so much has happened, and I'm really excited to share and to be here with you today and everyone who's listening.
Yes, I'm excited to hear the story and to have it shared here as well. And just to give context on what Riona is talking about a little bit, when we met a few years ago, it was around 3 or 4 years ago, I would say. And at that time, she went by Megan, right? And she was putting on an event at a cacao, like community cacao space that's really beautiful, Maya Moon in San Diego. And I was looking at the flyer and I just felt the presence, even from the flyer, just in the picture that she used and the design. Riona is very talented in design, and the things that she creates are very artful. So there was something magnetic about that experience. So I walked back there to see what they were doing and introduced myself. And I was just like, I feel a soul connection with this person. And she ended up sharing some of her medicine at one of the glow up experiences in San Diego. And that was super cool. And not to give away too much of your story, but I'm sure there's so much to share. But at the time she was married, living a very different life, like similar in a lot of ways, but different. Since then, she has shifted her business, shifted the intention, shifted her name, embraced a new community. And I know there was a lot of unraveling on that process. Since I was observing her Phoenix rising from the ashes energy, I was like, okay, it's time to have you back on and talk about this experience of transformation that you've been undergoing. So that's the context that set up.
Thank you. Thank you for that witnessing, and thank you for creating the space to talk about it. I feel like whenever we go through that type of alchemy journey, to be on the other side and to be able to share about it is so healing for ourselves, but it also gives such powerful permission for others who are on their journey, who are really listening to their dharma, their soul path, and provide a space of, we're all doing this and we can all call ourselves forward into it. And I'm excited to share more whatever you want to know.
I feel like you already told your story from the first podcast up to that point in your life, so we can pick up from maybe what I know less of. I know you've been at this place of transformation for a while, but what would you say is the inflection point when you're like, okay, this life as Megan inside of this paradigm being married no longer feels authentic to who I am, and now I'm on this path? Was there a moment or a series of moments?
Yes. And I'm going to boil it down to something very simple. It's called Saturn return. So for those of you who maybe not be familiar, Saturn return is an astrological experience that you have your late 20s, early 30s. and mine hit the last, I would say, 2 to 3 years. And then this year, it's complete for me, but I'm still feeling like kind of the ripple effect. And Saturn is the planet that calls us into sacred responsibility. It calls us into the maturity of who we're supposed to be as a human being. And if we're not living in our most soul-aligned path, then it's going to correct that. And so that is what happened over the last several years. Saturn, and I believe all of my guides, my healed ancestors, my spirit team, my higher self, who is Riona, who I am now embodying, they were all slightly correcting and adjusting me and where I thought I was going to be going with the path that I'm meant to be on, which is the one that I'm walking now. And yet it did require for some things to be released, some really big things that I identified myself as that I was in a deep relationship with. And of course, there was just a lot of kind of burning down for all of last year. And then now from rising from the ashes, there is this sense of peace and wholeness. And okay, we're starting to finally taste. That's what this was for. But yeah, that was the portal. That was the initiation portal. And I knew that I was in it. And I've started my spiritual path a long time ago. When we're on our spiritual path, it's always unfolding for us. We're never going to actually know where we're going. Life is going to hand us things, and we as a human being have discernment, we have choice. But ultimately, if we're really wanting to live on our highest path, then we are going to listen and we are going to make decisions that are really hard, but eventually will bring us into a place again of deeper peace and fulfillment and wholeness within ourselves. That's where I'm finally exhaling and landing in and looking around and being like, okay, we made it here. Great.
Yeah, I definitely understand the Saturn return journey, and I feel like you have navigated it very gracefully. The way it was explained to me was similar, and it's just that anything that you're carrying that isn't assisting your highest alignment will become very heavy, and you have to let it go in order to move forward, knowing that much more is waiting for you on the other side. And I remember the visual I saw was the monkey who reaches into the cage to grab a banana. And because a banana is like this, he can't get it through. And then he'll just stay there stuck until he gets captured. But it's just let go of the banana and then you're free. But you get so attached to the prize that you think only exists in this one place. And that attachment is what can have you be misaligned and stuck.
Absolutely. And it's because sometimes these things that we're attached to, we can sense, oh, maybe this is a good thing for me to let go of, and perhaps it's unhealthy. But the real kind of challenge comes when you still love that thing or that person or that experience or that way of being in your life. And I feel when I talk about this story and this experience, y'all, I wasn't like unhappy in terms of it was a horrible situation and it was toxic and what my life used to be when I was referring to myself as Megan and my community and all these things. It was just, I loved it so much, but it just was that kind of deeper knowing and feeling that you feel in your intuition of just, there's just something that's not quite it. And that can even be the thing, the banana, that it might not be so obvious, but there's a subtlety that comes in of just something isn't quite right. And when we have the courage to listen to that and act and respond to that, then things are going to start to shift and they're going to move very fast for you because right. The universe, your guides, everybody can see, oh, holy shit, they're really doing something. They're really meeting this moment and they're going to catapult you into kind of the next wave of where you're supposed to go.
And I'm curious on a human level, how you navigated that transition, because I'm imagining the vision of Riona and the name and what that meant came to you internally first. So you have this inner knowing that you're ready to embody a different expression of yourself. So that happens at one point. And then how long was it before you're telling your partner or your parents or, hey, by the way, like, I'm not Megan anymore. Like, I'm this person. And then how do you do that? Is it like you're eating cereal and you're like, by the way, or do you need to create like an event and say, this is something that I wanted to create some space to talk about, right? I think that's important
to such a cool question.
Give people some actual on the ground, like tangible, how do you facilitate something like that?
Yeah. How do you be a human through that experience? Something you reflected to me earlier, Dijon, you used the word grace. And something in that, I feel like what creates the sensation and the essence of grace that, and I get that feedback a lot from people, is because I really root my life in integrity and intention. And that's for everything across the board. So in my relationships, my work, like everything is rooted in intention and integrity. And it comes back to myself. So I love that you created that visual of it starts with me. It did start with me. And it started with me first unearthing my queer identity and who I am as a queer woman. And that identity that I pushed into a corner and locked away in a box for my whole life for 29 years. And because I am attracted to both men and women, all people really, it was easy for me to just be like, okay, I'm going to live in a heteronormative world. I'm going to just move toward my attraction to men. But that wasn't actually real or true for me. Again, that was Saturn correcting me. Hey, embrace all of who you are. Even if there's parts of you that don't understand, that feel ashamed, that feel all of these things because of societal conditioning and programming, it's time to embrace who you fully are. And once I started to do that, that then started to show me all of these other places where I was showing up, honestly, not as authentic as I possibly can be, right? So there was this parting of ways from my marriage, from different spaces within my community. But the people that were always there for me were my family. And it was having an event, calling my family in. Hey, y'all, I have a lot to talk to you about. And I had to get right with myself first. I had to find the courage and the grace and the stability within myself with all of my guides supporting me to have these conversations, to come out to them in my queer identity, to let them know that I'm exiting my marriage, that I'm moving out, that I'm doing this on my own. Yes, I'm continuing to be an entrepreneur through all of this as well. And it just created this openness that then allowed for this past year. My relationship with my family has never been closer because I allowed myself to be vulnerable and raw enough for them to basically see me naked through a very vulnerable time in my life. Not actually naked, y'all, but yeah. So alongside of that, I was in a mystery school last year, in a queer community mystery school. And it was those people and some kind of outer edges of people in my life who continued to uplift me in who I was and who I was becoming. My team, they were the ones who held it down. They were the ones who kept reflecting my light back to me. They were reminding me every single day when I forgot who I was, they would remind me who I am again. And because of that love and that community, I was able to trust in the becoming. And that's when I started to lean even more into my guides, into my spiritual path. Because at first, y'all, I really resisted because I'm like, y'all are fucking everything up. Everything is changing in my life. I'm a hot ass mess. But finally, I was like, okay, I surrender. Can you show me what this is all for? And this is where they then just literally turned a door open and in came Riona, in came my psychic abilities, in came my just all of these gifts that have just been waiting for me, but I wasn't actually able to unlock them until I fully embraced all of me, of what I know right now. So on a human level, that's what it looked like.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's very interesting to me and powerful and brave to express to people that have a very solidified impression of who you are and to shake that up. And I feel like that's not the type of thing that is one conversation and then everyone's, okay, great, I get it. It's like, probably takes a lot of patience and deliberation and sensitivity mm-hmm. to navigate that, and how everyone who you're expressing it to is able to process it, because I'm sure people are able to process it at different speeds and to different depths. And mm-hmm. I would also love to hear about more about your identification as queer, because I'm interested to be educated on it, about your perspective, because I feel like when I hear queer, I think more than just sexual attraction, right? Because mm-hmm. bisexual communicates that. And I feel like queer is a different word that also communicates like more of a worldview also.
Yes, so good. Yes. Thank you so much for bringing this in. Yeah. So queerness, what I've come to understand as I've opened myself to it is, y'all, I've always been queer because of my worldview and because of who I am in essence. It doesn't actually have to do anything with my sexuality. It has so much to do with my state of being. And queerness, I think everyone is queer deep down. If we were to strip back all the conditioning and the programming, that is our true essence, because what queerness is, it's such a different expression of love in general. Love for ourselves, love for the collective, love romantically, love within our friendships. My queer friendships are so different because of the expression of love that's in the room. And I feel like that just comes alive from a sense of openness. If we think about queerness, it's a sense of openness, an open heart, an open mind, an openness for people to be who they are, as they are, in their sexuality, in their identities, in their gender, in just who they are as a soul essence and vibration. And I know y'all know what I'm talking about as a spiritual being. I can get down with that. But I feel like queerness humanizes it, right? In a spiritual lens, we can be like, yes, we're all these beautiful, radiant beings, and we all have these different expressions, but queerness puts it in a human context, in a human body, which I think is so important on a spiritual path, that we honor our humanity. And for me, queerness does that. It is a state of being. I love that you said that, Dijon. It is a way of being in the world. It's a way you see the world, you be with the world, you interact with the world. And I feel like that is the gift that queerness is continuing to show us. And I'm really excited for it.
I love that. I love the invitation to create new structures around how we interact and how we view things. And personally, after living in California for 15 years and moving back to Atlanta a year and a half ago, I've actually found that I identify with some traditional things that I didn't identify with while I was in California. And some of them are like masculine and feminine roles within relating. And that's not to say it's rigid in the sense that a woman can only do these things and a man can only do these things, but it is to say that we are fundamentally different in how we're made and how we experience reality. And we have different strengths and they're complementary strengths. In a general sense, we are predisposed to do certain things stronger than the opposite gender. And I just embrace that more while still allowing fluidity for people to express, because anyone can express anything, right? But I do feel like there are leanings. Like, I would make the joke of people are like, the popular sentiment that is on social media, that's, I don't need a man. Like, I can do everything myself. And I'm like, yes, we all can do everything ourselves technically, but I don't feel like that's the point of being here on earth. We're here to be interconnected and interdependent and respectful of each people. But there are certain things that I'm going to feel comfortable doing as a man. When my mom comes home from the grocery store, I'm going to carry the groceries inside. When we're walking outside, I'm going to walk next to the street and she's going to walk on the inside. You know what I'm saying?
I think there's definitely this there's this beautiful conversation between, I love that you like are, the way you're describing it is through like tradition, right? And I feel that there's beautiful things within tradition, and there's beautiful things that exist within creating a structure for people to understand how to orient themselves on the earth plane, right? Like we're, if we talk about humanity again, and then also the openness for us to define what those structures are for ourselves. And to also recognize too that these energies, solar, lunar, feminine, masculine, however you want to define them, all live within each of us. We all have them. And also knowing that, okay, there's other people that have them too. So my partner has these energies, my friends have these energies. And for me, what I've started to see over time, it's about how do we harmonize with each other, right? Like, how do we harmonize if like I'm in a moment where I'm needing support and like Dijon is there with me, then he will probably recognize that and be the one who is supporting, right? Where if it's the opposite and he's having a moment where he needs to be supported, I can then become the person who is supporting, right? And so I feel like there's that element to it as well that I think is really empowering for people. And it, again, it brings us together. Like, how can we create more harmonization and wholeness between each other in the collective? I feel like this is also really important right now, just with everything that is happening in the world. How do we create a sense of togetherness? How do we unite ourselves within the collective and with each other, even on a one-to-one experience too?
100%. I started diving back into the eight limbs of yoga, and it was really poignant because the first one is ahimsa or nonviolence or non-harming. And the point that was really I was taking in when I was listening to it this time was that violence begins internally in the mind. A lot of us aren't actively expressing physical violence, but energetic or psychic violence exists pretty much within everybody. Somebody cuts you off in traffic or something doesn't happen the way you want to, and you have this inner fire and inner anger, and you're like, that motherfucker, that. And how do we meet those energies and witness them and not shame them for existing, but also have the awareness to not project them outwards and take full responsibility for our experience and only communicate once we have stilled that inner fire?
Yeah. 100%. It's being in this like constant state of reflection of where we are and how we're orienting ourselves in the world, which I feel is so crucial why we should have spiritual practices that bring us into a place of solitude, that bring us into a place of quiet, so that we can reflect, okay, where am I here now in this moment? And how can I show up in the world? What is my capacity? What is on my heart? What's also in like my energy body? How does my physical body feel? That will definitely create support in knowing how to show up in the world, especially if you're a practitioner of healing or any type of service, right? I feel like it's always, that's such a grounding, rooting element that will always support us.
Yes, 100%. And I feel like you model that relationship with self. And when I look at your Instagram stories, you have some very beautifully shown and looks like embodied practices of ritual that you do to connect with yourself. So I would love to hear about what some of those practices are. And you mentioned all these gifts opened up on the other side of your Saturn return. What are those gifts?
So I learned that my personal devotional practice, my sadhana, is one of the things that just roots and holds me so much. And it helps me show up in the best way that I possibly can in each moment of each day. And so it changes for me. So right now, my practice, I'm oscillating between a few different practices. Kundalini is a huge practice I'm leaning into right now. I used to do it years ago. It's coming back into the chat. So I'm really enjoying that. There's mornings where it's like I just have music on. I'm flowing through different yogic postures, like really slow breathing. And then I'll open up, you know, the Akashic records and I'll channel and I'll just be in that space. So that's definitely one gift that has come through really powerfully over this last year, is just my psychic abilities and gifts. And my intuition has always been on. Like, it's something I deeply feel. And for me, I believe that intuition comes through the body, it comes through the senses, and how we can pick up different subtle codes and messages that are always around us. And that was always popping for me. And then when I got attuned to the Akashic Records in mystery school, it just opened the door, like, all the way, where I just felt the call. I was like, okay, I want to see what this is. And so I did a 30-day practicum where I gave 30 Akashic readings every single day for 30 days, one reading a day, and it just unlocked everything. And so that is one of the medicines that I'm here to offer. And the Akashic Records, for those of you who may be new to it, the most simple way that I like to put it, it's just the space of universal timelines where everything that was, that is, and that has been exists within. And we have the ability to access them, to receive higher divine wisdom and guidance that will help support our human experience. It is not to bypass our human experience. It is to support the elevation of it. And so my clients come to me, and they're typically in a spot of just, hey, like, I'm feeling really stuck right now, where I'm not really sure which way to go. And we open up the records and we receive that guidance. And what's so beautiful about that is, as soon as I channel it in, they're like, ah, yeah, I had a feeling it was that. It's miraculous to see. It's miraculous to see, because it's showing us, it's reflecting back to us, like, we do know. We do really know. And right. It's having that trust that we know.
I love that. And I love that you spoke of the deepening of your relationship with your intuition, because I feel like intuition is the highest form of intelligence in reality. Mm-hmm. But in our current paradigm, the intellect, I think, is prized above everything else. And the intellect is certainly totally useful. And it's what, in a lot of ways, makes us human, because animals have a profound sense of intuition and they act on it. And that's why they mm-hmm. live in the present way mm-hmm. that they do. And we have that ability as well, but a lot of times the intellect will get in the way and not be in its proper place as far as the hierarchy of what's supposed to motivate and instruct our way of being.
100%. 100%. Like, y'all, if you were to look at my life like a year or two ago and you were to see it, you'd be like, everything's together. Everything is amazing. Like, what? Like, intellectually, that's what it looked like on paper. That's what it seemed to be. But my intuition was like, something just ain't right.
Right.
And that sparked all these changes. So yeah, listening to our intuition is so crucial. And just so, for me, it's like the compass that guides our way of life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 100%. And I think it's intuition is on the spectrum, probably would be considered more feminine, and the intellect would be considered a more masculine, energetic trait. And it was fun to watch you hone your masculine and feminine energies as you were rebirthing yourself. And I think I've mentioned this to you before, but one thing I enjoyed seeing is you came back from being away for a while and you said, hey, I'm coming back. Like, I've got this powerful new thing I want to share. And you said, okay, I want to be more expressed vocally. So I'm going to show up here every day. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing medicine songs. I'm claiming my identity as a medicine woman. And then you set that commitment, which is like a very masculine thing. And then I think you did it one, maybe 2 days. And then the third day you were like, actually, it's not feeling aligned to just force myself to show up this way. And I was like, I love that she expressed that and didn't just not show up, because it was like the masculine honoring the commitment with integrity was still there. But then the feminine, like, this doesn't feel good, was also present. Mm-hmm. And you were interweaving those mm-hmm. two things. And I was like, that's really beautiful. And I just want that to be a reminder for those of you that think people aren't watching because they don't maybe comment on your stories or they don't like your posts. You never know who is watching what you're doing. And there are a lot of people that watch and just get influenced by even the simplest thing like that. But to me, it was very important to see where you were at. And that was indicative of where you were at.
Mm-hmm. I literally had no idea you had that experience. So that just like, I'm like, it's just one of those moments where my inner creator and artist and of just like how I show up and what I share is just, yes, it feels so good. It feels so affirming. And yeah, it's, I've learned how to, that my Capricorn, I have four placements in Capricorn. So like the structure is there, baby. Like it is always there. And that structure allows me to be in flow with things. And I allow that flow. I've learned how to trust that flow more. And for me, energy is everything. If something isn't feeling right, if it's a little crunchy, I'm not going to force it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to force it. It's not going to feel good. So having that structure, creating that for yourself, and then allowing also for there to be freedom and for there to be flow, especially when it comes to creative process and self-expression, like 110%, that's so important.
Right. Mm-hmm. And listening to you say that, it feels also important for me to speak to the fact that there are, in fact, different spiritual paths, and there's different paths, that there's masculine paths and then there's feminine paths. And I feel like feminine, or another way I think of feminine, is like tantric paths are more embracing of everything, and they're more flow-based and they're tuned into energy and feeling. And the masculine path is more about focus and honor and integrity. And Kobe Bryant Day is coming up, and he's one of my favorite expressions of divinity, I think, as he is for a lot of people, feel very inspired by him. And like, for instance, when he would talk about his training regimen, and he would say, okay, people during the summertime in basketball, sometimes they would commit to working out once a day, and the people that really wanted it would commit to two a days. So I decided I was going to commit to three a days, because if I could commit to three a days, then I'm doing 150% more than them over the course of that summer, which is going to give me an advantage. And if you extrapolate that over 5 years, then the gap is increasingly widening. And someone asked him, how did he maintain that commitment to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be at the gym at 4:30 and then maintain that over 25 years? And he was just like, once I make a commitment to myself, I don't negotiate. And he had this like intensity when he said it, which is the exact opposite of what you just said. But that doesn't mean that what you said is wrong and what he said is right and vice versa. It's like what he said was right for him. And what you're saying is right for you. So ultimately, on this spiritual path that we're on, you have to be able to discern what is actually in alignment with you. And whatever other people are expressing or how they're going about it can be a guidepost, but you can't follow someone else's path exactly. You have to be tapped into your own intuition in order to discern what spirit is saying to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%. And it comes back into having that almost like daily sadhana. For me, it's like, that's a non-negotiable. Like there's a daily sadhana, daily practice every single day, no matter what it looks like. And that brings us into a state of listening and a state of acknowledging like what is good for me, what is the most high for my life. And when we can be in tune with that and create with that, then miracles start to happen.
Miracles. So I'm excited to hear about the miracles that I'm sure you're manifesting in the world now. And I'm especially excited that you're going to be sharing your gifts and offerings with the Dharma Glow community. So I would love to hear about how you like to express these newly unlocked gifts and what you have specifically in mind for our community.
Yes, I'm so excited to be inside the Dharma Glow community and just sharing the medicine. So I'm going to be sharing specifically more around my psychic gifts and offering guided psychic journeys. And we're going to be going in specifically to deepen into your soul's gifts. Because again, we live in a world of intellect and there's a lot that's always happening around us. And we're seeing this person do that and this person do that. We're inspired by this, we're inspired by that. But these journeys, the way that I guide them and the way that my clients receive them, truly brings them on their Dharma path, what their soul gifts are, how they're meant to show up and express them in the world. And it's just a journey of truth, which is so beautiful. And it's gentle. And the way that my voice comes through and it guides the space, like, it's just a whole medicine experience, a whole transmission. So I'm so excited for that. And it feels like to be in this moment for me is a miracle, truly, because there was a day where I was sick and I wasn't healthy in my state of being because of the dis-ease that I live alongside of. And I never imagined the day that I could get up every single morning and actually feel good in my body. Today's a miracle because I didn't actually think that I could live alone in my own apartment and pay for it by myself. And I look around and my day is filled with conversations like this, with my clients on podcasts, on different meetings, what I'm creating with myself and my team. That's a freaking miracle. So my life right now is truly, I'm learning how to receive it. I'm learning how to receive this. Because if you're an entrepreneur, you're a creative, you're a visionary, you're always thinking about the horizon line. You're thinking about what's, all right, what am I creating? Where am I going over there? And that's so important. That's so powerful. But I'm really learning, like, to look around where I'm at right now, because this moment is, I didn't think that this would ever come. And it's here.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I'm just celebrating your power and your accomplishment of self-realization and embodiment and the way that you model it for other people and also show up relentlessly in service to invite people to step into that within themselves. And that is godlike. And I feel like we're here to be expressions of God for each other and give love and receive love. And I'm very honored to have you be a part of the Dharma Goa community to do that. So thank you for bringing your energy.
Yes, it's like such an honor, such a pleasure. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this evolution, this iteration, and that we're trusting the unfolding of it all. And it's just, it's truly a gift. So thank you so much.
Yeah. So I think that your first session is scheduled for, correct me if I'm wrong, is it the second Tuesday in February?
Yep. Uh-huh. Okay, exactly.
So second Tuesday in February, and that will be, we're trying out 3 months on the second Tuesday in February at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Riona will be leading these experiences to help us tap more into our soul's gifts, and I'm very excited. And just to close, I would love just to hear more about your day-to-day human experience. We've talked a lot about the deeper work and transformation of identity and all that type of stuff. But what do you like to do for fun? What brings you joy or pleasure? And what music do you like to listen to?
Yes. I remember you asked me this question last time and I honestly had a hard time answering. I'm like, what do I do for fun? So I actually took that as a homework assignment and I was like, I need to figure out what I do for fun. So for fun, I love getting together with my community. We like come together. We create these huge potlucks. Everyone brings something. Sometimes it's so random. Sometimes it all harmonizes together. And we all just laugh. And we just, the room is just filled with so much beautiful energy. So I do that for fun. And I love to travel and go see friends, go see family. And when I'm keeping it really simple and just enjoying my time, like, I have my dog Nala. We go on 3 walks a day around our neighborhood. I just enjoy being under the sun, hearing the birds sing. And when I'm just chilling out, I'm watching Netflix. I'm relaxing. I'm not doing anything. And just being human. And I feel like that's honestly one of the most important pieces on our spiritual path, is that we give ourselves a moment to just to do that human thing. Just watch the Netflix, walk the dog and listen to some music. Keep it simple, because what we're doing is big, y'all. I've given myself more and more permission to do that over time.
I'm glad to hear that. You deserve to have some moments of ease and grace in addition to the helping people transform themselves and transforming consciousness. So that's great.
Totally.
Okay. Rapid fire to close. So you mentioned you like to travel. Favorite place that you've been to so far?
Definitely Kauai.
And why?
Kauai is such a beautiful place. Shit, if you've ever been there, the energy, it's just a whole portal. Like you're transported somewhere, and the slowness of it is something that just helps my nervous system just de-escalate all the way down, be on the beach, just be filled with just the beauty of Mother Nature. It's just everywhere there. One of my favorite places for sure.
Okay, I love that. Place you're most excited to experience that you have not experienced yet.
Yes, I'm going to be going to Portugal this summer. I have not been there before. Yes, I'm really excited. And yeah, I want to just travel through Europe as well. Like I want to go over to Greece. I want to go to Ireland. Like a lot of my ancestry's from Ireland. I want to go there. I really do. I want to go travel a lot of places, but Portugal is up for sure, and I'm excited.
I love that. Okay.
Yes.
My favorite way to express love to someone who is important to me is?
Quality time. Just being present and no phones, no distractions, just like really enjoying having conversation and doing something fun together and connecting that way.
Okay, so that would be your number one in expressing love. And what about in receiving it? Is it also quality time?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Presence for me is such a big thing. The way that someone gives you their presence is, I don't know, it's just unmatched with anything else for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Totally agree. Mm-hmm. And when you feel into the legacy that you're creating with the way you're showing up in the world and the values that you have, what do people say about Riona in 50 years or 100 years or something like that?
I want them to just remember the sound of my voice and how it's resonated within their being. And that's what I want them to remember.
I hear that.
Been getting a lot of feedback. Yeah, I've been getting a lot of feedback lately about my voice. I'm like, there's something here. So I'm like, I'm gonna pray into that and let that be a part of the vision. There's something in the voice that's formless, but at the same time, it can be so potent. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I love that. I'm seeing like you with videos where you're just dropping consciousness. The way people like listen to Alan Watts videos or something like that, but it's just they put them in like popular culture things and you just hear his voice has this like certain frequency and consciousness to it. And you're just like, yes.
I would love that. If anyone's out there looking for some audio things, hit me up. I'm down.
All right. Maybe I'll incorporate that into some of my creations. I'll have to let that gestate.
Yes. Yes. Seed planted. Yes.
That feels pretty complete to me. I'm very grateful for your time. Is there anything else you feel called to share about what you're experiencing or anything you want people to know?
The thing that just dropped in so effortlessly is just trust. Trust where you are, my love. It can feel like a lot to be in this human experience, being a spiritual being and being a human being. So wherever you are in this moment, I just invite you to trust where you are. Because this is where you're meant to be.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful sentiment. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Riona, it's always a pleasure to connect with you. And I'm excited for our third podcast in the future when you've hit another level, another octave of evolution. And to hear about that transformation. Looking forward to that.
Me too. Thank you so much for today. It was such a gift to be here.
My pleasure. All right, and we'll see you next time. Hopefully see you inside the Luminous Lifestyle Dharma Glow community to hear Riona's activations. It'll be the second week of February, March, and April of 2024. And if you miss them, they will be living in the library in our online community, Luminous Lifestyle. There will be links to that in the show notes.